This is one of my favorite stories. Not just in the Easter season or in the Gospel of Luke, but in the whole scriptural tale of what it means to be a follower of God and a follower of Jesus, because the disciples are such a hot mess. I love it because it feels so real and human. To be so wrapped up in our own grief brain that when God appears among us, we don't recognize God. The disciples are so brokenhearted from what has happened during the weeks up to Jesus' death, so brokenhearted by seeing the man they thought to be the Redeemer of Israel crucified and dead, that an idle woman's tale that the tomb was empty and there was a vision of angels seems so unthinkable, impossible, laughable even. Instead of going to the tomb to check for themselves, they wander off towards Emmaus, 7 miles away, talking with each other as they go and saying, "Isn't that ridiculous that there are women among us who are claiming he rose from the dead? What are we supposed to do with this story?" And Jesus comes near and walks with them. And I am fascinated by the fact that the story does not tell us why they couldn't recognize him. Only that they couldn't. Only that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And I have to admit, as someone who has suffered grief and pain and loss, it is not hard to imagine myself face to face with God and seeing only a stranger. I love this story because it's so real and so human about when we are blinded by our own pain. I love this story because it's so real about the way God shows up in our pain. That in the midst of their suffering, they're talking and discussing as they walk, God does not tear open the heavens and shout down, "You guys, I told you this was how it was going to be." They do not see a sudden darkening of the sky and the stars writing out, "We told you this was how it was going to be." They don't stumble in the dust and find the rocks kicked into a perfect formation that says, "Every time God closes a door, God opens a window." There is no magic fix, no ancient deus ex machina where God comes from the sky to reveal the whole plan. Instead, God comes alongside them and walks with them and listens to them, sees their pain, and then says, "I'll walk with you. I'll explain it to you." And this story is so beautiful and real and human because we have longed so many times in our own lives for a magic fix, a clear answer. Why did this happen? Why is the world the way it is? Why has this particular thing that happened to me happened? And we would really, really like a chicken soup for the soul kind of answer. One that's easy to put into a single-spaced, a couple pages, where everything is summarized and beautiful. And instead you get this messy, dusty, 7-mile hike with Jesus walking alongside and talking and explaining. I love this story because it is so real about what happens when our faith and reality collide. The disciples, good Jewish followers who have been waiting for the coming of the Messiah, are completely baffled by what has happened to Jesus. They are so certain of their scriptural interpretation, so certain of what the Messiah was going to come to do, so certain of who this person of Jesus is, and then reality collides with it. They were so certain that this prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, had to just keep going, right? Keep on ascending into glory, maybe cast out the Roman oppressors, restore the religion of Israel to the temple of Jerusalem, create a land where they were finally free, and instead he dies? I love this story because this has happened to us so many times in each of our own lives, where what we believe, what we are so certain of, collides so hard with reality. It's a nice ringtone, I like that. It's a good time. So certain that we had our phone off. And then it rings in the movie theater. And then you're that guy. So certain of the way our family worked, or the way that we wanted to go when we started on a career trajectory. So certain of who we were, or who our spouse was, or who our children were going to be. Only to get to a place where our beliefs and reality collided. And suddenly we had to deal with that complete change. I love this story because it's so true and so human about what we lose that we think we were so sure of. And I love this story because it's so true and so annoying about resurrection. Because resurrection is not restoration. See, Jesus comes alongside them and walks with them and is risen from the dead, and yet nothing will ever go back to the way it was. The season of Easter is not about great. We get to go back to the seasons before, to Jesus healing hundreds, feeding the hungry. No, instead we start learning these stories of what it means to be an apostle now, to go from being the student to being the teacher. Because resurrection, the full resurrection of Christ's body, is not about going back to the way things were. It's not a restoration of the past, but progress into the future. Things can't go back to the way they were. And it's such a true and so annoying story. Because when we have had those moments of crisis, when reality and our beliefs have butt up against each other, or when we have faced pain or suffering, when we are so burdened with grief that we can't recognize God in front of us, all we want to do is go back to the way things were. And the stupid, annoying, frustrating promise of resurrection is that it doesn't go back. That in fact, it might not be okay, but other things will. Other things will be okay. And I love this story because it's so true to the body of God and the person of Jesus that they finally recognize their Messiah in the breaking of the bread. That they finally recognize their Messiah and he disappears from their midst, and they go sprinting back to Jerusalem, which again, 7 miles. They cover this in less than an hour. They're running 8.5 miles. This is a very good rate. Most good marathoners can't hit that. Go sprinting back to this place of fear and pain. Back to the place where they saw their friend, their leader, their savior, they had hoped die. And they go back. And this becomes our model for Christian community. That the presence of the Word the discussion of scriptures as they do on the road, the going through of the Bible, figuring out where is Jesus showing up in all of this, the breaking of bread and remembering the promise of Jesus saying, I will be with you, remember me. Doing it within a community, whether it is 2 or 3 or 60 or 6,000. And finally, the presence of Jesus, mysterious and intangible. These four things, word and communion and community and Jesus, become our model for the Christian church. Because it was enough for the disciples, those four things, scripture, communion, community, and Jesus, to send them back to face what they feared most, to give them strength to face whatever was coming next. See, the frustrating and irritating promise of resurrection is that change is real. And much as we would really like to have a God that keeps everything the same for us, life does not work out that way. And the frustrating and irritating, annoying promise of resurrection is that when we are too blinded by our grief to see God in front of us, when we are too hurting to figure out how to walk, when we are dealing with the crash of reality and our beliefs together, God shows up alongside us and walks with us, creates community for us, breaks bread in our midst, and reminds us, I'm here. For you, for you, for you. Not in a magic automatic fix, sometimes in an 8.5-mile-a-minute sprint, and sometimes in a long and dusty walk. My friends, the story of God's love for us is long. It stretches over centuries, from the scriptures that pointed to Jesus, to the scriptures that tell us of Jesus' life, to the season of Easter when we remember, what do we do with that empty tomb? And even to today, the story of God's love for us is long. Whether you are sprinting it or walking it, or only standing still looking sad, may you know the presence of Christ with you. Amen.